All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, January 28th of 2026. Looking ahead here, we have a 9-game NBA main slate, 3-game NHL main slate, and then we have golf teeing off tomorrow morning. So pretty sure most people will be building their golf lineups today. So for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so you tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right, with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. And we did have one question come in prior to the show. We will start there, probably do a golf demo today, and just kind of see where the show takes us. But first question goes along with an update that was pushed to SaberSim today, in case you guys haven't seen it. Very exciting update. I'm going to talk about it really quickly here before we jump into the question. So we released FanDuel single game separate ownership for MVP and flex. So now we do not just show total ownership. And that allows you to do a lot of new things with these FanDuel single game slates, which is very exciting. So let's say we go over to the NBA slate for tonight. So I go and I pull up a single game, such as the Lakers and the Cavs. Usually you would get to this screen, and the ownership would be grayed out, right? That's like one thing that you would always see here. Well, now when I switch between MVP and utility, one, it's not grayed out, and two, the values are changing. I look at Luka in the MVP, and we're expecting 36% ownership. I hop over to utility, and we're seeing the value updates, and it shows 58%. So normally we would have one ownership, it would be grayed out, and it would say, hey, you know, Luka has a ownership of 94%, and it would be the 36 plus the 58. Well, we've broken that out now. We are now showing separate ownership for each player. And we're really excited about it. It adds a lot of flexibility to what you can do over on the FanDuel single game side. So now that we kind of mentioned the big kind of marquee feature about this update, question here is, Andrew, quick walkthrough of FanDuel Showdown. Now that it just got an ownership update, the team see much better lineup performance because of the update. And Matt did chime in on this in Office Hours, so I do want to mention this as well, just kind of reiterate. This update doesn't really change the underlying model in any way. We're still using the same model, same NBA projections, really the same ownership. We're just surfacing the difference in the ownerships rather than showing the total. So now that being said, I do think, you know, this gives you more ability to do more things, which can lead to better results, right? Like, let's say that, you know, duplication matters in single game formats, which is very true. You know, you want to be able to use some type of ownership rules or filters, or, you know, you've always wanted to do stuff relating to ownership, but it's hard to when it was combined. Well, you can now do that a lot better. You can do that the same way you do it over on DraftKings, right? If you want to use a geomean rule or a geomean filter, or you want to do some type of some ownership, right? Like if I was trying to do some ownership for Luka before, well, it's not really super accurate because he's not 92% owned in the flex. He's 58% owned. And when I had him in the flex, I didn't have him in the MVP, but the ownership was getting counted for both, right? It was almost if I had Luka in the lineup twice from an ownership perspective. By breaking it out, you're going to only get the percentage for him in that position, right? So instead of 92%, you're seeing 92%. Well, it's actually only 58% because I'm playing him as a flex. Now I can get a little more specific with some type of like some ownership stuff or any of those type of things, right? So I think that there is going to be a lot of opportunity to improve processes on the FanDuel side and allow for more experimentation when it comes to reducing duplication within your own lineups over on the FanDuel single game side, which is really exciting, right? I think FanDuel, well, number one, right, they used to only have five players in a lineup, I think a season or two ago, and then that drove duplication even higher. Well, now they expanded to six players in a lineup, and then they started to apply the captain multiplier for salary, right? They used to say, hey, you know, this player's salary is their player's salary, and whether you roster them in the MVP or utility doesn't matter. And it made projected plays, it made projection more important because you weren't being taxed to play a higher projected player, but they were gaining 1.5x their points. So I think slowly but surely, this FanDuel single game space has gotten to a point where I think you can really attack it and going from five to six, applying a salary multiplier to match the point multiplier in the MVP spot. You know, now us basically building out our own logic to separate ownerships between MVP and utility makes this a really exciting kind of place to get some action in. And I'm really excited to experiment with it myself. So really looking forward, really excited about this update and looking forward to what we can do with it. All right. Next question. What is the best way to get a player that you have a feel on to pop into your builds without heavy input into the Sims, boosting projection versus exposures, etc.? Yeah, so I wouldn't be afraid of making these adjustments, right? If you have a feel for the slate, you know, what you're doing is you're adding in your takes along with what SaberSim wants to do. And I wouldn't be scared of doing that, right? You basically have two options, and you kind of just need to know how each of them work so you can figure out which approach is going to be the best for you. And I think this is kind of a good segue into like a golf. What am I thinking of? Kind of like a golf build, right? We could talk about this. Let's say I really like, and I'm going to pick somebody. I really like Jason Day. You know, for whatever reason, I think Jason Day is going to have a good tournament, and I think that he's in a really good spot. I can do two things. Number one is, well, if I think he's going to have a really good day, then that means I'm basically betting that he is going to score more than his average projection, right? Okay. So, well, how much more, right, is kind of the question. I think you can do a couple different things here. Number one is you can just give him a point boost. You know, if I want to boost him 2 to 3 points, okay, he's at 63. I bump him to 65, right? That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it was maybe I want to use his percentiles a little bit. So I come in here, I look at his percentiles, and I notice that his average projection is a lot lower than his median projection, right? And that has a little bit more to do with the times that he misses the cut, kind of dragging his projection down. But I'm of the opinion that he's going to make the cut and do well, right? So maybe I say, hey, I want to basically ignore the times he's not making the cut because I think he's going to make it. And I want to at least use his 50th percentile projection, which in this case is 68.5, right? So this is another way of kind of using the sim information to make a projection adjustment, right? I'm not just pulling 68.5 out of thin air. I'm saying I think he's going to have at least his median outcome here. He's definitely going to make the cut. And so I want to adjust his projection accordingly, right? So I'm using a number from the sim here to apply that projection adjustment. So I'm going to roll with that. Now, the only thing that can happen with regard to a projection adjustment, right, is let's say I boost someone and then I run a build. Sometimes, and I don't think this is one of those times, but sometimes what's going to happen is SaberSim is going to take into account your projection adjustment, and maybe it still doesn't like that player, right? This is the one thing you want to be cautious of when using projection, because if you are coming at it from the approach like, I like this player, I want them in my lineups, projection might not be the right tool. Projection is good for like, hey, I think these players are going to do better or going to do worse. I want to give SaberSim my opinions, and I want to let it decide what to do, right? If you're coming at it from that angle, then yes, I would adjust projection. But if you're coming at it from the little bit stronger stance of I like these guys and I want them in my lineup, that's when you're going to want to do the other option, which are going to be the min-max exposures, right? Min-max exposures are going to guarantee, they're a very blunt tool. They're going to make sure these players are in your lineup at the percentages that you set. So if I think, and I think I adjusted the wrong person here. I think I adjusted Pendrith instead of Day. I think Jason Day is going to have a good tournament. You know, he's 8% owned. I want to, what I always say is, you know, well, how much should you set the minimum exposure to? Going to depend how strong your take is. I think a good starting point is at a minimum, I do not want this player to be the reason I lose. So when you come at it from that angle, I think you should set the minimum exposure equal to the ownership, where no matter what, I am not going to end up under the field on the player I like. And at the best, I'm going to have positive leverage on them, which is what I want. So in no scenario am I going to be under the field on this player. So I think setting minimum exposure equal to ownership is a good option. I think if you really like this play and you feel strong conviction about them, then I think it's okay to go higher, right? If this player's at 9% ownership, maybe I go, you know, 13, 14%, right? Which would be 1.5x the ownership. If you feel really strongly, maybe you go 2x, right? But I personally think 1.5x is like more than enough, especially if you couple them together. If you go projection adjustment and minimum exposure, you're probably going to end up getting a lot of this player. So I think if you're going to do one or the other, right? Like, okay, I'm going to do projection adjustment, or I'm going to do like 1.5x ownership. Okay, cool. If I'm going to do projection adjustment, but I want to do the exposure too, I'd probably just match the ownership and the minute exposure. So like, I like this, doing the 50th percentile value plus minimum exposure equals my own. I think that is like more than enough for what we need to do here. So now that I've set this up the way I like, I'm going to run some lineups, and then let's just kind of see how much Day we are getting on the other side. Maybe even before this, you know, one thing I might have thought about doing is running a build and just seeing how much we get of this player before I did anything, right? I think that's like another thing that you can consider. It's like, well, does SaberSim agree with me? Does SaberSim disagree with me? You know, am I getting 0% of him? Am I getting about the field? Am I already positive leverage on him without needing to make any adjustments, right? So that might be something you can consider doing, just kind of running a SaberSim, I would call it like baseline build, and seeing how it looks. All right, so I get into the post build here. I'm just going to use Unique's one Saber score. I'm going to come in here and sort my table by exposure. I want to see these popped out. And if I sort by exposure, where's Mr. Jason Day? All right, cool. So Jason Day, 25% exposure. I really like this, right? He's 8 to 9% owned. We're about 3x exposed to him when we compare his exposure to his ownership. A top 5 leverage play, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, fourth on this list. So we're getting Jason Day as one of our higher leverage plays, one of our higher exposed plays. We're not overly exposed to this player, right? All these other players are within 20 to 40%. It's not like we have 60% Day. If you find yourself in that scenario, I think maybe you've gone a little bit too far and maybe you've over-adjusted. So I really like this, right? We used sim information with the percentiles to adjust his projection. We set a small minimum exposure to make sure we weren't under the field at all costs. And then we get into the post build and we are within a 3x ownership to exposure kind of leverage range here. So I think that this is a very good way of getting exposure to a player and that you like. And then you can expand this out, right? You can do this to a group of players if you so choose, right? Work all these guys in at different kind of rates and see how SaberSim handles it. But I think this is a very good way to use exposure, projection, combination of both. And we also worked in a golf demo for tomorrow's tournament as well. Looking around here. Those were our questions, and we knocked out a demo here. I think we're going to get out of here. I'm a little under the weather. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, Thursday for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.